February 22nd, 2011.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
I saw the chair was missing downstairs. How about Shana?
That's a good time.
Okay.
It didn't work.
That was not the answer because Mr. Cooperman had walked up.
He walked up, yeah.
Okay. Couldn't get it to work.
Oh, oh. So now he's upstairs. No. The chair is upstairs.
Now he got it to work.
Good. We left off last week by the Mishnah on Daf Ches Amud Beis. Morris Saita Daf Ches Amud Beis. There's a Mishnah. You have two Mishnayos about the Hashkafe. That Min Hashemayim, if a person sins, so they punish a midah keneged midah. And if a person does mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, he'll be rewarded midah keneged midah. Both b'midas haparonis and b'midas b'midat tova as well. So the Mishnah says b'midos shod amodeid, the same style that a person sins bo modeid lo. That's how they punish him. So the Saita, how did she attract a fellow? The Mishnah is describing she probably got dressed up in fancy clothing and she probably invited him to come into her home, and so on. So the Mishnah says hikishta satzma laver, she dressed up in order to sin with the Noev. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaMokim Nivla, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu has her, they rip her begodim, she was wearing beautiful begodim, they rip her begodim. Higil so Satzma Laveira, she undressed herself to sin with the man, HaMokim Gila Aleha, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes that she should be undressed, they rip her clothes in the Beis HaMikdash. B'yerech Eschila Baveira Trilo, Rashi explains, that when she was having tashmish, if she sinned, on the assumption that she was sinning, if she was having tashmish with this man who was not her husband, so first she had hanoa by having their legs rub against each other. So first, b'yerech eschila ba'aveiro, t'chilo, v'achakach ha'beten, and then they were having tashmish, he was on top of her stomach, l'fichach tilka ha'yerech t'chilo v'achakach ha'beten, shakol aguf le'polet. That's why when the Koyan tells her that she's going to be punished, so he tells her first the Yerech will the Beten will swell up. But first he tells her, Nafla Yerecha, that her organs will fall apart. So he warns her first about the Yerech and then about the Beten. And it's not only the Yerech and the Beten, the Shakol HaGuf Le'Polot. The rest of the body is also going to fall apart. Everything is going to disintegrate. That's the punishment that she's going to have. Right? So the punishment is always Midah Keneged Midah. Maybe we'll learn now the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah is on Daf Tes on the base. It continues in the same theme. Shimshon HaGibor. Shimshon Holach Acher Einov. He fell in love with this Nochris, with a non-Jewish girl. So the Fichach, he was punished. Nikru Plishtim Meseinov. That's his punishment was Midah Keneged Midah, that they poked out his eye. Shenemra Vayachazul Plishtim. They grabbed hold of Shimshon Vayinakra Seinov. Avshalom was a Nazir. Avshalom was the son of David HaMelech, and he wanted to rebel. He wanted to take over the kingdom. So he was a Nazir. So he had very, Gemara says he was a Nazir Olam. Wasn't Stam a Nazir for 30 days. He was a Nazir Olam. So he had very long hair. So Avshalom and his God Besairo, he was very proud of his good looks and his heirs. Lefichach, when he lost his life, Nitla Besairo. What happened was he was riding on a horseback, I think. And his long hair got caught in a branch. Then the horse kept on going, and he was hanging there, dangling in the air. So because he sinned with his hair, he was so good-looking because of the hair. He was very proud of it, so that's why that was his end.
Wasn't he killed with arrows?
Yeah. Yeah.
Next line.
Right. But the first what happened was that the horse kept on going.
So he slowed him down.
Yeah. So he got caught in his hair in the branch on the tree. Lefisha bo alesa pilakshe aviv, he was mezana. David HaMelech had a lot of wives, so he was mezana with 10 of the pilakshim. Lefichach nitnu bo eser lonvios. That's why they threw 10 spears into his body. Shenema, the pasuk says in Shmuel Beis, by yosobu asora. How does it say in the orim? Noisei klei yoav, Vayaku is Avshalom. The 10 people threw spears into his body and they killed him. So why the number 10? Because he had sinned with 10 of the Pilakshim of David HaMelech. And then the Mishnah continues about Mida Keneged Mida, Lefisha Gonav Gimel Genevas. He violated Genevas Das in 3 different areas. He was Genev Levaviv, Lebeznev, Levi Yisrael. What was this all about? So Rashi quotes a whole Medrash. It doesn't say in the Pasuk, but the Medrash says that, what does he quote? A Yerushalmi. That Abshalom asked his father, David HaMelech, should write on official stationery of the government that the 2 people that he asked, if he asked 2 people, they should come with him. So David HaMelech is mitzvah that 2 people should go with Avshalom. So he shows the ksav to 2 people, and they say, okay, they're going to come with him. Then he goes to another 2 people. He says, my father wants 2 people to go with him. He goes another 2, till he gets 200 people. So that's a Genevas Das. He was going to Lev Aviv. He fooled his father to write me a shtar that 2 people should come with me. He fooled his father. He used it 100 times over. And he fooled Bnei Yisrael. And he fooled the Lev Bezdin because the 200 people that he got to come with him with a big rabbanim, with a Rashi HaSanhedrin. So he was Gonev Gimel Genevis. He did Genevis Das on 3 different levels. Lev Aviv, Lev Bezdin, Lev Yisrael. Shenema, the Pasuk of Vayignav. Pasuk didn't say exactly like that, but approximately it says that he did Genevis Das. Lefichach Nisku Bo Gimel Shvatim. That's why 3 spears, or 3 rods, were hit in his heart. The others threw 10 spears in his body. And here the pasuk says, Shenemar, 3 spears went into his heart. Shenemar, Vayikach, what does it say? Vayikach Yoav, Shlosha Shvatim. He took 3 rods, okay, Bechapa on his hand, but he's koin b'leiv Avshalom. He stuck all the 3 rods into Avshalom's heart. So the Mishnah is telling us, Mida keneged Mida b'mida ro, as a punishment. The people are punished, Mida keneged Mida. The Soita sinned in a certain way, with the clothing, with the undressing, and so on. So she's going to be punished, Mida keneged Mida. And Shimshon did the same, and Avshalom did the same. And now the Mishnah says that the same is true, v'chein l'inyan ha-toivo. Mida keneged Mida, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives schar. Miriam himtino le-Moshe shoh achas. Moshe Rabbeinu was a little baby, he was the youngest. Aaron and Miriam were older than Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu is put in the basket. So Miriam was standing there on the side. How long was she standing? Not so long. Himtina l'moshe sha'achas, for a short period of time she was standing to watch that everything was okay. Shenema. So mida keneged mida, she was rewarded. When she became a mitzaras, so it took 7 days till it was cleared up. So the whole klal Yisrael waited. Shenema, as the pasuk says, v'hom lo nasa. Ad Hayosef Miriam. I remember when Rav Soloveitchik passed away, so he died on Chol Moed Pesach. So in Boston, it was only Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said a hesped. So at the Shloshim in New York, in Lampert Auditorium, so they had 3 people say hesped. So the first, I think, was Dr. Lamb, and then was Dr. Twersky, and the third one was Chaim Soloveitchik. So they told Chaim Soloveitchik, apparently they only gave him 15 minutes, because he can't hold the Olam there. So he said over this Mishnah, and he said, my father had to wait for so many trains and for so many planes to go to New York to give the shurim so the Olam can wait a little longer. I'm going to say the hesped as long as I want. It's me the keneged mida. My father waited so long, so everybody can wait for a hesped a little longer. So he didn't speak that long, but he spoke more than the 15 minutes that was allotted to him. Is that a nice hesped? So that's what the Gemara said. The Mishnah says Miriam was rewarded. Tzchar mida keneged mida lefisha himtina shachas from Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why they waited for her. Shenema v'hod la nasa ad hayosef Miriam. Yosef zocha likbar esaviv. Yaakov Avinu left instructions that when he dies, he wants to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So who was the only one who could take care of it? Was Yosef? He was the prime minister. So Yosef zocha likbar esaviv ve'en be'echol gadol mimenu, and he was the prime minister. He was the big man in politics. Shenem Rabayal Yosef Likber Saviv. Because Yosef went to bury his father in Eretz Yisrael. Vayal means from Chutz Loretz to Eretz Yisrael is called Aliyah. From Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Loretz is called Vayerit. So it says, Vayal Yosef Likber Saviv. He went to Eretz Yisrael to bury Yaakov Avinu. So because Yosef was the prime minister, Vayal, Yimog, Gam Rechev, Gam Parashim. So it was a big group of politicians went, and fancy chariots went. So that was a big kovod for Yankel Avinu. So mi lanu gadol mi Yosef. So what was the reward of Yosef? Because he gave such kovod to the father, to bury the father. So look what a reward he got. Mi lanu gadol mi Yosef. Who had such a big kovod dika levi like Yosef? Shlonis askbar la Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu took care of the kvura. Moshe Rabbeinu took Atzmas Yosef. Then the Mishnah continues. Moshe Zachar b'Atzmas Yosef. Moshe Rabbeinu did a mitzvah. He took care of Yosef. Was Hashbei Hashbei Zmanei Soleim. Apokod Yivkar Lekim Eschem. Balisam is Hatzmaisam Iza Itchem. So the Maisa, anyone could have taken. So everybody was busy with Bizas Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu took care of Atzmas Yosef. So it says, Moshe Zachar b'Atzmas Yosef. Moshe was Metapo in the Gvura of Yosef to fulfill the Haftocher. And then Moshe Rabbeinu was rewarded at his Levi. Who took care of his Levi? The Rabbanu Shalom. Behem Yisrael, Godel Mimenu. Who had such a Bekovedika Levi like Moshe Rabbeinu Shenemra? It starts off, Ayikav Moshe Zatzmas Yosef Imo. He was Metapel in the Gvura of Yosef, and he was rewarded, Mida Kenegad Mida, Migodel Mimoshe, Shalom Nesasik Bala Hamokim. The Rabbanu Shalom buried him, Shenemra. Ayik Barosa Bagai. So the Rebbeinu Shalom took care of Kvuras Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Pashup Shat in the Pasuk is that was once in the history of the world, the Rebbeinu Shalom was Metapel in the Kvura Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Mishnah ends off, not so. Lo al Moshe b'levado amru, not only on Moshe Rabbeinu did HaKadosh Baruch Hu get involved in the funeral. Al kol HaTzadikim, whenever a Tzadik dies, the Shechina participates. Moshe Rabbeinu, no one else took care of it, only the Rebbeinu Shalom. Usually when other tzaddikim die, so there are human beings, the Chevra Kaddish is Metapel and Nikvura, and we assume the Shechina is there. But the Mishnah says, Al kol tzaddikim, the Rebbeinu Shalom participates in the Levi Shenema, V'holach l'vanecha tzidkecha, Kvod Hashem yasvecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shechina will be there when the tzaddikim will be buried. He once mentioned that the Achreinim have an idea, V'holach l'vanecha tzidkecha, that the tzedokah, that a person leaves instructions, a person leaves a tzavoah, that they should give tzedakah after he dies, so you should try to have the tzedakah distributed before the gvura. So they say it based on this lashon haposuk, before the gvura, the shechina is going to participate in the levaya, and the tzedakah should precede the person's levaya, if it's possible. Yeah. So let's go back to the chesamid base. This is really one long Mishnah about Mida Keneged Mida. Midas HaPuranis, Mida Keneged Mida. Lechein Linyan HaTeva. That's a Schar V'yonish about Mida Keneged Mida. So the Gemara has, right after the Mishnah on Chesam and Beis, Omer Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef is an Amora. Af Al Gav, the Mida B'Teilo. What do you mean, Mida B'Teilo? The Loshen is a little strange. So Rashi says, even though we no longer have Mises Bezin, Mises Bezdin Bismana said there's no Mises Bezdin because we don't have any smuchim. You have to have a Sanhedrin with 23 smuchim. Nobody has any real smicha Bismana Zeh. In Shulchan Aruch, in the third Chelik Yeridei, it says in Hilchas Talmid HaChachamim, it says there's no real smicha today. It's all imitation smicha. Real smicha was interrupted 1,500 years ago. You have to have smicha conferred in Eretz Yisrael Ishmi Piyish Ad Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Goyish governments in Eretz Yisrael were always trying to do away with the smicha. And we learned the Gemara in Sanhedrin in the first parak that they made a gzeres hashmad that if anyone will confer smicha in a city, they'll kill all the people in the city. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova was a Tana, and he was Maisa Nefesh. He didn't want to give smicha near a city. They're going to destroy the whole city. They'll kill everybody. So he gave it in a desert far away from all the cities, and he was an old man. The Talmidim were young. So he gave the smicha. Apparently the din requires, that's what the mashmo is, the din requires that smicha has to be conferred in a public fashion. Otherwise he could have given us private smicha. Nobody would know whom he gave the smicha to. Apparently the smicha is b'shem kol Yisrael. So he gave the smicha, he conferred the smicha in a public fashion. And he told the five or six talmidim of his they should run for their lives. They ran. He was an old man. He knew he couldn't run. So the Romans killed him. So he was Moisa Nefesh. He felt that it's an inyan for Yehorg Vayab in order to preserve the smicha Yishmi Piyish Ad Moshe Rabbeinu. So he succeeded at that time to give smicha to a few Tanaim. But then a couple of generations later, in the early days of the Amoraim and Eretz Yisrael, the whole smicha was discontinued. They couldn't last that anymore. The Goyim kept on making Zeres. So they stopped giving smicha. So today we don't have any smicha. Even when they still had the smicha, the Gemara learns that from a pasuk, you can only give din in the fashas when you have a koyin oived, when you have a koyin makrav karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. After the churban Beis HaMikdash, no longer a koyin oived, agabi hamizbeach, so you can't give any din in fashas. And then the Gemara says that even 40 years before the churban Abayis, Golsa Sanhedrin, you can only have a Sanhedrin Ktana functioning all over the world, giving din in the fashas. Sanhedrin Ktana consisting of 23 dayanim, it's part of a big system, the head of which is the Supreme Court of Sanhedrin Gdoila. So the Sanhedrin Gdoila only has its special status when it's Malamet Shamokim Gorim, if they're in the Lishkas Hagozes. So the Gemara says, Aboyim Shana Koyim Shacharav Abayis, Baishenim Vizchor, around the year 70. So 40 years before, around the year 30, Golsa Sanhedrin, they had a self-imposed exile. They left the Lishkas Hagozes. And the Gemara says, Lalamdach, that no one can be done any more than in the Foshes. So already, not only in the days of Rabbi Yosef, already in the last 40 days, before Rabbi Yosef, after the Churban Abayis, Abgeret, and even 40 years before the Churban Abayis, there was no longer any din in the Foshes.
Yeah, because they said
right, there were so many murderers, and they weren't able to control the situation, so they felt that it's not proper. They should have the covet of sitting in the Lishkas Hagozes and making believe that they're the Bez Nagadol, if they're not able to maintain law and order. So they said, we're resigning. So they left the office, and they said, no more Lishkas Hagozes, no more Bez Nagadol. So once you dismantle the Bez Nagadol, so there's no longer any Sanhedrin Tana. So they mainly can't administer any din in the fashas.
What about the smicha that was given, that was reinstated in the 1500s?
Right, that was a big machloikas. They wanted to reinstate the smicha. The reason why they moved to Tzfat, the reason why they moved to the Galil, is because the Gemara says, Eser Golias Golso Sanhedrin, that the Sanhedrin had this self-imposed exile 40 years before the Churban Abayis. So they went from one place to the other, 10 different locations. The Gemara says in the end of Rosh Hashanah that at the time of the Churban Abayis Rishon, the Shechina left the Kodesh HaKadoshim in 10 stages. Eser Golias Golso Shechina. The Gemara documents it from Sukkim and Novi. So the Gemara says, Kenegdon, at the end of the Bayis Sheni period, Eser Golias Golso Sanhedrin. So they went from the Lishkas Hagozes to one location to the other, and then they were in Yavne for a while, and then going back and forth, Yavne, Yerushalayim, then went to Ushan, Shparam, and Sipori, and Tveria, different places. So all the villages were all in the north, near the in the Galil, near Tzfat. So the Gemara says, and the Rama quotes this also, that Losi Lova, when the Bezdin will reconvene, they'll reconvene in the same location where they last met. Just like every day, the Bez Nagadol goes home to go to sleep at night, and then they reconvene in the morning in the same place where they were yesterday. So here there was a pause of 1,500 years. Okay. Bez Nagadol left the Lishkas Hagozes in the year 30, 40 years before the Churban Abayis. And they'll reconvene. They still didn't reconvene. That's over 1,000 years. So they'll reconvene in the same place where they left off last. So the last place where they left off was somewhere in the Galil.
Temporary adjournment.
Yeah, yeah. So the Gemara says that before the Melech HaMashiach comes, Eliyahu Navi will come to notify us about the coming of Mashiach. And Eliyahu Navi will come where? Where will Eliyahu Navi come? So the Gemara says he will come to notify the Bez Nagadol. That's the Gemara we learned in Erevin around Daf Mem Gimel. So the Rabbanim in the 1500s were all excited. They were hoping maybe Eliyahu Navi is going to come soon to notify us about Bihas HaMashiach. Obviously it didn't work out. Eliyahu Navi didn't come yet. Mashiach didn't come yet. So they felt that they want to be there to be Mekabel Pnei Eliyahu Navi. We have an expression, to be Mekabel Pnei Melech HaMashiach. But in the Gemara talks about to be Mekabel Pnei Eliyahu Navi. The Gemara doesn't talk about Mekabel Pnei Mashiach that came. So they wanted to be Mekabel Pnei Eliyahu Navi, but the Gemara says it's going to come to the Sanhedrin. So they wanted to reconvene a Sanhedrin. How can you reconvene? Nobody has any smicha. So they said, let's follow the Rambam, that the Rambam writes in three different places, that Yeroi Ali, he has an original chiddush, that if all the Rabbanim, all the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael gather together and they confer smicha on a person or on a group of people, does he stoichet smicha. If an individual person has smicha, Yish Min Piyish, Moshe Rabbeinu confer smicha in public, so that's B'Shem Kol Yisrael. So he doesn't need he doesn't need to convene all the Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael. But if you have all the Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael, and the Klal Yisrael who live in Eretz Yisrael does haste Klal Yisrael. The Jews who live in Chutz Lortz are Jewish, but they're not called Klal Yisrael. The Iker of Klal Yisrael are the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. That's why you can only confer smicha in Eretz Yisrael, the Rambam writes, because smicha is a function of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael confers the smicha. So the Rambam writes this original chiddush, if all the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael gather together and they'll confer smicha on a person or on a group of people, that's also a bona fide smicha. So that's what they did. They gathered together all the Rabbanim in Tzfat, and then they gave a few smichas. So they never invited the Rabbanim in Yerushalayim. So the Rabbanim in Yerushalayim said, Hayitochen, you never invited us. So they said, well, even if he would have invited you, we go Basarayv. So we had the Ruba of the Rabbanim lived in Tzfat. And they all voted to give smicha to these few Rabbanim at that time. So Rabbi Leib ibn Chabib lived in Yerushalayim. So I said, what do you mean? If you would have invited us, and we would have said no, and you would have said yes, so you go Basarayv, but we weren't even there. So you can't say Ruba Kekula if we're not there. So that was, he wrote a whole kuntras hasmicha to disagree with those who gave the smicha. But then a few years after the initial, I think 5 years or so, after the initial conferring of smicha on two or three people, so then they gave smicha to another couple of people. And they thought that it's going to develop into something. But Lamai said, never developed. The whole thing fell apart. The whole thing, Eliyahu Navi didn't come, and they didn't put together the Sanhedrin. A couple of years ago, they put together a Sanhedrin. In Tveri, I think, no? They gathered together 71 Rabbanim, and they put together a Sanhedrin in Tveria. And then they met once every 8 months or so. And then someone gave them smicha. One of the Rabbanim, I think a lot of Rabbanim said that, what was the name of the Rav from the Eirach HaRedis who passed away? Halmashtam, I forgot already. One of the big Rabbanim from the Badats. So they gave, all the Rabbanim said, if anybody deserves smicha, it's him. And then he gave smicha to all the 71 Rabbanim. Nunu, they're functioning. They're functioning. They didn't do anything major yet. So far, they're only... Don't know.
And that's why you do it.
Don't know.
So what's the status nowadays if they would paskin something? I mean,
they know not to paskin anything that's going to be controversial. They don't want to look for trouble. So far, they just deal with the Bnei Noach. They have a movement of Bnei Noach all over the world who want to have guidance from the Jewish people. What are the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach? So that was written up in the newspapers that they met with the heads of the Bnei Noach movement from America and from India and from Japan, and they were guiding them about the Eved Menachai and so on. What's Butterman, what's us so far? That's all they did. They publicized up some statement about to preserve the atmosphere and to preserve the world. We shouldn't destroy the world. So they didn't take a stand on anything in Shulchan Aruch. So far they don't want to look for trouble. Yeah. We'll
any
see.
Any Eichel Gedolim there?
Some of them are Talmid Chachamim, yeah. Some of them are famous Talmid, famous Rabbanim, yeah. So Rav Yosef says, Afagav demida b'teila. So Rashi says, demida means the Arba Mises Bezdin. Even though we no longer administer Mises Bezdin for many years already, since 40 years before the Churban Abayis, but demida is like Bata. What do you mean, demida? In Hashemayim, they see to it sometimes that a person who deserves a death penalty should lose his life, and he loses his life in a fashion similar to that misa that he deserves. If he deserved skila, so he'll die in a fashion that corresponds to skila. If he deserved sayef, he'll die in such a form, and so on. The Omer Rav Yosef is not quoting himself. If you read the Gemara, it sounds like Omer Rav Yosef, the Omer Rav Yosef. He makes a statement, he says, because I once said, he's quoting himself. He's quoting himself in his drasha. So Rashi says, not that Rav Yosef is quoting himself. HaGemara ko'amar. The Gemara is adding, Rav Yosef made a statement, and the Gemara makes a comment, Amar Rav Yosef, Nami Yalma v'chein toni. The Gemara is putting together two memories that Rav Yosef said, but he didn't quote himself. That doesn't make any sense. So Rav Yosef says that b'mido shodamodet bo modet in lo. What it says in the Mishnah is still observed. And Rabbi Yosef said, "V'chentani Rabbi, there's a brayson that says like that. There's a similar thing about the Arba Mises. That what miyam shachar beis hamikdash, from the day the beis hamikdash is destroyed, afal bishabot la sanhedri, and you don't, there's no more Sanhedrin, but you still have Arbin Mises Bezn. Arbin Mises Bezn like Butler. What are you talking about? Baha Butler. You can't administer Mises Bezn after the Churban HaBayis, even 40 years before the Churban HaBayis, you can't administer Mises Bezn. El Azag de Gemara, no. What Rav Yosef meant to say, what the Braise of Rav Chia says is, Din Arbin Mises Le Butler. What does it mean? Men HaShamayim, they'll sometimes see to it that the person should die in a fashion similar to the Mises Bezn that he deserved. Le Moshel. Mishan is Chayiv Skila. How do you administer Skila? So the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, you take the person up on top of a roof that's the height of two, of let's say an average person is 6 feet tall. So you take him on top of a roof that's 12 feet tall. And the Edom, Yad Ha'edom Tia Barbe Shana, so the Edom have to push him off of the roof. So usually he'd get killed, and you have to tie his hands and his feet. So usually he'll get killed by falling down. Because he doesn't have, you take off his clothes. We just learned this. When you take off his clothes, he's going to be bundled up with a fur coat, so he's not going to get killed. So you push him off, he's almost completely naked, so usually he got killed like that. And if he's still not killed, then they drop a gigantic, heavy boulder on top of his heart, and that'll cause him to die. If he still didn't die, then everybody should throw some more stones. Uskulu kalansha yirov ames. Yeah. So the Gemara gives that as a mashal. Mishan is chayv skilo onofel min agag, because that would be the min hashamayim, they'll see to it that he should fall off of a roof, because that's why they originally did the skilo. You push him off of a roof. Right. So here, if a person deserves skilos, I mean, Hashemayim, they'll see to it that he should die by falling off of a roof, which was the first step in giving skilos. Or a wild animal will trample him to death. That's like if he didn't die, if the person that deserves skilos didn't die by falling off the roof, then they have to throw stones on him. So chayador soso is parallel to throwing the stones. Mishan is chayb sreifa. A person who deserved the death penalty of Sreifa. So there are two ways to give Sreifa. A rough way to give Sreifa would be to burn the person alive. So the Gemara says, we learn from the Pasuk, after the Racha Kamocha, Brola Misa Yofa, the Gemara had it on the top. If there are two ways to administer Mises Bezdin, so Brola Misa Yofa, give him more Bekovedika form. So a person who deserved to get the death penalty of Sreifa, sometimes he'll get burnt to death. That would be the simple way to administer Sreifa. Oh, Nochash Makisho, a snake will bite him, and the poison will kill him, and that's the way we have chosen to administer Sreifa. We pour molted lead down his throat, and it burns out the kishkas. So the whole body, it's Sreifa's neshama v'guf kayim, so to speak. The whole body is intact, but the melted lead will burn out his insides. So that's what Nochash Makisho, if a person is bitten by a snake, the whole body is intact, but the poison will kill him from the inside, so that's parallel to the Sreifa. Mishan is Chayv Hariga, the Skila Sreifa, Herig and Chenek. Herig means Saif, that they chop off his head. So Mishan is Chayv Hariga, so what may happen is, Onimsa La Malchus, someone will give him over to the government, and the government used to administer death penalty by chopping off people's heads. That's how the Rambam writes. That the Rambam writes that it's a din like that. At anyone who violates any one of the Sheva mitzvahs ben yinoch, azarasam, zui misosam, any violation of gezel, dinim, anything, the chayiv misa. So the Rambam says, which one of the forms of misa? The Rambam says, saif. Because the Gemara always says, nimsala malchus, the malchus always gave saif. You could have learned that was the practice. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's the din. The Rambam understands that that is the din, that all misas ben yinoch is supposed to be saif. So the umas ha'olam is mana Gemara, we're doing the right form of death penalty. They always gave Saif, and the Rambam says that is the correct form.
The time when Bezin was functioning, and Ben Lev required to be executed, they did that? Would they have done that?
Yeah.
But that's not Herig, halachically.
Well, that is Herig, to chop off the head. That's Herig.
That's right.
Saif, yeah, Saif. Yeah. Let's say the Bezin, a Jewish Bezin, can judge Jews and judge non-Jews. So let's say they'll catch a non-Jew who stole. So the Gemara says, Ben Noach is Nerag al Pachas Mishavah Pruta. Even if he steals less than the Shavah Pruta, he's Chayiv Misa. And the form of Misa is supposed to be Saif. So the Bezdin will administer Saif. If he's a Jew, they'll give a different list of onshin. But if he's an Ochri, whatever violation he did of the Shavah Mitzvahs, he gets a Saif. So the Gemara says, Ben HaShemayim, they'll see to it that he should die. One who deserved Saif, either will be Nimsal HaMalchus, the government will take care of him, in which case it'll be Saif, or Listen Boy and Olav, or gangsters, mobsters will kill him, and they always used to chop off people's heads. So Min HaShamayim, they'll see to it that he should get this Saif. Mishan is Chayv Chanike, the person deserves Chenek, so they would take a scarf, Bezin will take a scarf, and tighten it around his neck and choke him to death. So the punishment Min HaShamayim would be, he would drown in a river, so he wouldn't be able to breathe. Or he'll die from some disease which prevents him from having the ability to breathe. So that's the Gemara is developing this idea of Mida Keneged Mida. The Mishnah says Mida Keneged Mida in Onshim, and Rabbi Yosef or the Brice of Rabbi Adzan Bimida. The same way a person would have deserved one of the Arbnis' Bezin, so Bizman Azem and Hashemayim, they'll see to it that those people should be punished with a Misa and Hashemayim that's similar to the one they deserved in the Bezin. Then the Gemara continues on the first wide line. Tanya, we have a Tosef, the Hoya Rebbe Omer. The Tanoim said, Minayin Shabimidu Shodem Odeid, but Modin the law, where is the source in Tanakh to this theme in the Mishnah? That all the punishments Min HaShamayim are given Mida Keneged Mida. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya. Difficult pasuk. It's a very difficult pasuk. A saw is a measurement. A saw, I think, is what the saw is, 6 kabim, and a kab is...
Four lugim,
and a lug is 6 beitzim, something like that. So if you multiply 6 by 4 by 6, 6 by 4 by 6, something like 144, I think, or something like that.
Rashi,
I think it's just plain arithmetic. I think it's 144 beitzim in a saw. So a saw is a measure. A saw is measurement, like a big box that they deliver eggs in. Egg carton.
Sit down.
Okay. So. Good. So the pasuk says b'sasor, a saw is a measuring container, and the pasuk somehow is referring to Yetzias Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished the Mitzrayim on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim. They deserve the punishment. The saw in this measuring container that the Egyptians used b'shalcha terivena, they were punished and they were removed from the world in the same measuring container. It's not a cup, not a measuring cup, but the same saw that they used to punish the Jewish people, to torture the Jews. So a saw is a big measurement. A saw, I think, is 144 beitzim. What do you say again? A saw is 6.
It's 6 beitzim and a log, and 4 log in a cup. 6
cup
and a saw.
6 cup and a saw. Okay. So the Gemara says, the Brisa continues. The only yellow saw, maybe it only means if you have such a big measurement, if a person or a nation, a Jew, a non-Jew, whatever, someone sinned in a big way, so then he'll get punished, mida keneged mida, in the same way. How do you know if he did a little sin? Minay l'rabbis, what if he sinned in a lesser fashion? And he doesn't deserve such a big punishment, he deserves less of a punishment. The lesser punishments also, min HaShamayim, they see to it that it's mida keneged mida. So the Brisa says, yes, mainly Allah saw. Maybe that pasuk that teaches us this idea, Mida Keneged Mida is Bissah, Saw, Bishalcha Tiriven, at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Egyptians were punished. They wanted to drown the Jewish babies, so that's why they drowned in Yamsuf. So that was Mida Keneged Mida. So maybe that's only a saw when it's a major aver, and they deserve a major punishment. Adinom in HaShamayim, they're going to punish even on lesser averis, also Mida Keneged Mida. So he says, Menayin l'rabbis tarkiv, v'chatzi tarkiv. What is a tarkiv? So Rashi says, tarkiv is 3 kavim, trei v'kav. 2 kavim and another kav, which is a chatzi saw, because he just said before that there are 6 kavim in a saw. So tarkiv means trei v'kav, 2 kavim and a third kav is a chatzi saw, or a chatzi tarkiv is 1.5. Kabim, a quarter of a saw. So that's less. How do you know kav, chatzikav, smaller measurement? If the person or the nation sinned to a lesser extent, and they deserve a lesser punishment. How do you know? Rova, v'chatzi rova, smaller, 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 tuman, uchla. How do you know? Even if they did a slight avera for which they deserve a slight punishment, how do you know that min hashamayim they'll see to it that that should also be mida keneged mida, minayin tamalam? There's another pasuk in Yeshayah. The other pasuk is very difficult. Rashi writes on the the first pasuk b'sasa v'shalcha tirivena. The pasuk seems to be talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim, that the Mitzrayim were punished b'so'o shalahem. The same way, they wanted to drown the Jewish people, so that's why they drowned in Yamsu. The second pasuk, Rashi writes, very difficult pasuk. So Rashi on Novi writes, we know how the rabbis understood it. And leaving out what the rabbis added, their comment, he says, then he goes fishing around to try to make up a pshat. But the rabbis understood, Talmud Loma, the pasuk says, ki so, ki kol so on so ein gorash. So the rabbis understand that the word sa'on has to do with the word so'o, that one who did an avera to a certain degree will be punished to the same extent, mida keneged mida, even if it's less than a so'o, even if it's a lesser punishment. Minayin kol pruta, pruta mitztarefes, the cheshben godol. When a person sins, he deserves a punishment, so they don't have to punish him all at one time. He has to get a heart attack and die, he has to get a stroke and... They punish him a little bit this year, has a little agvas nefesh, next year a little agvas nefesh, next year a little agvas nefesh. Everything adds up, and that's exactly, every person is punished to the extent that he deserves a punishment. So that's what the Gemara calls, kol pruta pruta mitztarefes lecheshben godol. In Bava Basra, in the first paragraph, the Gemara has such a lot, the Gemara talks about tzedakah, that kol pruta pruta mitztarefes, if I give a dollar, you give a dollar, he gives $5, he gives $10, all together, the whole kehila gave him a nice matana, and he has a tzedakah to live on. And here the Gemara is using the same expression called pruta pruta mitztaref is l'cheshmen gadol, that a person who is punished a little bit each year, he suffers a little bit, agmas nefesh here, agmas nefesh there, agmas nefesh the next year. So everything altogether is his punishment, and he has the midah keneged midah. So he gets his kapara, the surim ha-machaper. So how do you know called pruta pruta mitztaref is talmud loyma achas li'achas limtzo cheshmen? Another pasuk in Koheles. Little at a time, everything adds up. This is a tosefta in Soita. So it starts off with mida keneged mida. Mida shada modeid, bo modeid in law. The same way he did an avla to someone else, that's how they're going to punish him. So the tosefta continues by writing over this Mishnah. What did the Sota do? Shebe mida shemodeido. The same way she sinned, with having an affair with this man who was not her husband, bo modedu lo. That's how min hashamayim they punish her, they mevaza her. So the Tosefta elaborates more. The Mishnah had it bekitzah, the Tosefta elaborates. He omdal pesach beisa leirois lo. Mishnah, the Brisa imagines that the woman was probably standing at the door. Bizman is other women walking around on the street. They have Zionists walking around in the street. So the Bryce is imagining that the married woman stays home. But she was standing by the window, or she was standing by the door, and winking and trying to encourage this man to entice him, he should come in. He amdal pesach beiser le'roislo, to appear to him, to entice him to come in and to sin with her. Lefichach, that's why the din is, kohen mamid al shar nikinor. Umar klona lakol. We have a stand at the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash. That's how the Gemara said on Omer Aleph, on Ches Amen Aleph, that it says, V'hemet ha'kayna se'isha lifnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem means in front of Shah Nicanor, which is the Pesach HaAzara, right before you walk into the Azara. So a lot of people are coming and going. It's like a train station over there. A lot of people are going to see. She's going to be humiliated in public because she did something in public to entice him to sin. That's why we have to be mevaza her in public. V'chach kayin ma'amid al Shah Nicanor mariklo in alako. He should be mevaza her in public.
What does klona mean?
Her shame. Embarrassment. Mara klona, her shame, to show her embarrassment, her shame to the public. He pierced lo sudorim noim al rosha. She probably put on some beautiful, attractive hats to draw his attention, colorful things that he should notice her. Leficha koin nit notel kipo mi al rosha. That's why the pasuk says, the paras rosha, he should take off her hat. She was wearing a fancy hat that was attractive and colorful to get his attention, so we have to take it off. Umanicha tachas ragleho. That doesn't say in the Chumash, doesn't say in the Mishnah. That's what the Tosefta writes. You should take the hat and throw it on the floor. Hikishtalopaneho. She probably dressed up, put on a lot of lipstick and a lot of rouge and so on. So therefore, when she drinks the Mayim HaMorim, if she's guilty, we're talking if she's guilty, Lefichoch Paneho Marikos. Therefore, if she drinks the Mayim HaMorim, so her whole face is going to turn yellow like one who has a sickness. Hikichla lo einecho. She probably put mascara on her eyes in order to be very attractive. Lefichoch einecho boltos. Part of her punishment will be that her eyes are going to be bulging after drinking the Mayim HaMorim. Hikichla lo asayra. She probably made a very fancy hairdo that's very attractive. The hair of the woman is very attractive. That's why the pasuk says the forest Rosh Hashisha. He should tishter her fancy hairdo. He harisalo bi etzba. She probably winked to the man in the street. She probably was waving her fingers to entice him to come in and to sin with her. Lefichach, that's why we have a tradition. It doesn't say in the Chumash, but the Gemara says lefichach tziponeha noshros. Part of the punishment will be that her fingernails will fall off. This is part of the mida keneged mida. She must have put on, when she wanted to entice him, she must have put on fancy, colorful belts, or what do you call it? Okay. Lefichakayim maybe chevel amitzri. That's why when he rips her begodim, so you want to hold up the begodim that she shouldn't be completely undressed. But how do you hold it up? So you could have put something else there. Bekovedik, so he put chevel amitzri, a rough cord, because that her dress shouldn't fall down, because it's me the king and me, because she must have put on beautiful what do you call it, strips of cloth. Yeah, so that's why you have to be mevaza her by putting a chevel amitzri. That's why the Gemara had a shaila on chesam and beis. We learned last week the Gemara had a suffix. The chevel amitri, is that lehikuva? Is that only that her clothing shouldn't fall down? What if he can't find the chevel amitri? Can he use anything else? So Tosis thought it was so strange. How could they have a havamina? But the Gemara says, what's the havamina? Because you want to have mida keneged mida. So the Gemara quoted this brisa. The mida keneged mida is that she dressed up with fancy tzilzel, with fancy cloth streamers. So that's why we want to punish a mida keneged mida. He pushed alo esirecha. She must have stretched out her leg to sin with him. Leficha yirecha nafelas. That's why part of the punishment, it says in Chumash, her thighs are going to fall off. He kiblasa al kresa. She was sitting having tashmish, and he was on top of her belly. Fichach bit natzol. That's why the punishment, the Chumash says, is that her belly is going to swell. She must have given him some delicious meal to entice him. She must have given him delicious food. Usually a korban mincha is from chitim, and this is one of the few exceptions to the rule, but the korban mincha is from sorim, from barley, which is meichel behema. On Pesach, the mincha saimer is also sorim. The shtei lechem on Shavuos is chitim, meichel adam, and the korban mincha saimer on Pesach is meichel behema. The Chassidish Sfarim, they say that Pesach is the Yontov of Emuna. V'yidatim k'ani Hashem. And Emuna is supposed to be like a behema, not so much philosophy. So that's why we bring a korban Michael behema on Pesach. The Sa'irim, the Mincha Sa'irim is Michael behema. What's the Lashon and Tilim? Right. That's all Pipshat. So in the Chassidish Svarim, they give an additional explanation why. That's the Pashup Shat. What you said is the Pashup Shat. That the Chitim ripen Pesach time in Shavuos. The Sorim ripen Pesach and the Chitim ripen Shavuos. Right. In the Chassidish Svarim, they say that the Pasuk, David HaMelech says in Tilim, Behemos Hayisa Imach, a lotion like that. When he has a moon in the Rosh Shalom, it's like a behema, very flat. But Shavuos is the Yontav of Kabbalah Satoris. A Tori, you're not supposed to be like a behema. They're supposed to use your intellect to figure out what the dinim are. So on Shavuos, you use for the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos, you use Michael Adam, you use Chitim. A contrast between Pesach and Shavuos. So that's the other midah keneged. She probably gave him a very delicious meal to encourage him to sin l'ficha korbana, Michael Behema. She brings a mincha min ha'seorim, mincha z'chayte. He hishkaseh yayim meshubach. the Kosas Mishabachim. She probably had very fancy goblets and very delicious, very tasty wine. Leficha Koin Mashke Maim Hamorim B'Mekinu Shal Cheres. He gives her the Maim Hamorim, which doesn't taste good at all. As you erase the ink there and you throw in a little Karka Mishkan, it's not poisonous, but it doesn't taste good. It's bitter. And he gives it to her not in a Bekovedik goblet, but Mekidu Shal Cheres and a Kli Cheres, an earthenware vessel. He also saw... The Mishnah has, yeah, that you put b'mikidu shal cheres, yeah. The Chumash doesn't say. Chumash doesn't say cheres. But the Mishnah says later it should be dafka kli cheres, yeah. Yeah.
Which is not an ikiv, the stomach's not an ikiv.
No, probably not. But we do everything that it should be mida keneged mida. Yeah. He also saw Baseser. She probably tried to do the whole thing in such a fashion. Nobody, her husband, for sure, she didn't want him to find out about it. He did find out. He brought it to the, he made Kina Stirin, he brought it to the Beis HaMikdash, but she thought no one's ever going to discover. Everyone has sins, thinks they're going to get away with it. Everybody thinks no one's ever going to catch them. So Yeshe Baseser, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, who hides, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a kel mistater, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is the Yeshe Baseser Elyon, Samba Panim. What does that mean? That's the Loshon HaPosik. The next pasuk in Eov, the Gemara is going to put a pasuk. So the pasuk sounds like that the Rabbanu Shlomo is going to be samba upon him. What does that expression mean, samba upon him? So Rashi interprets what it means is when a sati is pana b'ishahu is an expression that appears in Vayikra a few times. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim and the Sifra, ponani mikol asokai boskani bohem, as if the Rabbanu Shlomo is running a whole big world. He's running everything here. So he's going to take off, he's going to take off a little time off, and he's just going to concentrate on this person to punish him. That's based on the pasuk that we're going to have soon in Eov. Shenema, the pasuk says, Ve'ein noyef shomra neshef lemar, the sinner, the noyef, does his sin at nighttime thinking, lo tu shireni oyen, no one will see what I'm doing, no one's going to catch me. How does the pasuk continue? The Bach has it. The Seisa Panim Yasim. What does it mean? Seisa means the Yosheba Seisa, the Rabbanu Shalom, who's the Kel Mestat there. He sees everything that's happening. Panim Yasim means Painani Mikol Asaka. He's going to take time off from running the whole world. He's going to concentrate on punishing these people who sin.
It doesn't go together.
What do you mean it doesn't go together?
Yosheba Seisa Elyon. Yosheba Seisa Elyon.
He's a Yosheb B'Seisa. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Yosheb B'Seisa is Elyon. Yeah, that is right. Dover Acher, another comment, what's the Mida Kenegan Mida? He also said B'Seisa, because she tried to do it B'Seisa, no one should see her. So first we said, she's trying to do B'Seisa, so the Rebbeinu Shlom, who's a Yosheb B'Seisa, saw what she did, and he's going to punish her. Now the Gemara has another mida keneged mida. Davarach, another way to slice it. He also baseser, thinking that no one's going to catch her. Amokim pirsum abagoloi. The Rebbeinu Shlom saw to it that we bedavka should publicize the fact that she sinned. Shenema, the chasa sinne b'mashoin. A person does an avera when it's dark. What will the end of the story will be, Tigola Rasa Bikohol. His sin will be publicized in public. Everybody will know about it. So this is the end of the Tosefta. Tosefta says about, in general, Mida Keneged Mida, and particularly about the Soito, like the Mishnah had, but much more elaborate than the Mishnah.
The Tosefta assumes that the woman is the seductress and the man is not the seducer.
Yeah. It's a questionable assumption. Yeah, who says that she started up with him? Maybe he started up with her. Yeah.
And maybe also she's completely innocent.
Well, that's, yeah.
Okay. Completely innocent she isn't, because the husband was kinei law. So then let her not be nistera. Even if the stira is not a violation of yichud, there are cases where usually the stira will be a violation of yichud. So she's in violation of the din of yichud. Once in a long while, it won't be in violation of Yichud. Let's say the father is choshed that she's having an affair with her brother or with her father. And there's no Issa Yichud with your father or with your brother. So in such a situation, when she'll do the stira, she won't be in violation of the Aveir Rav Yichud. But still, if she knows the husband is crazy and the husband was kini law, so let him not do the stira. It may make life very difficult, but still, she's not 100% innocent, she isn't. She could have seen to it that there should be someone else. You can't say the husband's making life impossible for her. Not making life impossible, she should always see to it that one of the children should be there, or someone else should be there when she goes in, so she won't be in violation of the stira. She won't necessarily be in violation of the yichud din, but she's still in violation of the stira din. So she's not 100% innocent, even if she didn't sin with Lysinov, but she did do something that was improper. Okay. All the punishments will only be if she's really guilty of the Aveira of Lysinov, not if she violated just the Isser of Stira.
Well, the bush remains.
Okay, so a little bit punishment she deserves for violating this Stira, but the major punishment she won't have. Freg de Gemara, we just established before that the Mido shall demode. Everybody gets a punishment, mida kenegan mida. And first we said, bisasa, only a saw, in a big avera, where you deserve a big punishment. Then we said, even small averas, even when you deserve just a slight on it. Shreg di gemara, o meyacha de nafkalei meyacha slachas limtzo cheshbon. What does the gemara ask? Achas liachas, that was the pasuk in Kohelis, three lines from the bottom. Achas lachas limtza cheshbon was the kol pruto pruto mitzterefes. Sometimes min hashamayim they don't punish the person in one shot. He gets a small dose of punishment now, a small dose of punishment later, and it all adds up together. So it's not always going to be mida keneged mida. It's not going to be he did this major averis, so he's going to get a major punishment. Maybe a little at a time. So Freg de Gemara, once you've established that there's such a concept of achas liachas limtza cheshbon at what? Kol pruta pruta mitzterefes. So how did you understand the previous pasuk? Ki kol sa onso in barash lomali. We thought that meant to the same extent that you sin, you're going to get the punishment to the same extent. But it's not always going to be so. You may get it in smaller doses, a little aggravation one year, a little aggravation the next year, and everything adds together. And for the Gemara, you're right. It's not always going to be mida kenegan mida to the same extent. But what it means is lekimida. The Mido Shadamo did the same style, the same form, the same way he sinned, and the same way he will be punished, but maybe on a smaller oifen, and everything will add up together. For Egdi Gemara, so once you already know, there were three psukim in the Brisa before. So the third pasuk says you have kol pruta pruta mitztarefes, it can be meted out in small doses of punishment. Then the previous pasuk, kikol sa'on so'en, that difficult pasuk, so that pasuk tells you that it's b'mido shadamodet b'mod in the same style of sin, that's how the style is going to be the punishment, so he'll know what aver it corresponds to. So once you know that from the second pasuk, what do you need the first pasuk for? First pasuk only says it's a saw, a big mido gedolo, that it's going to be mido keneged mido. But you say from the second pasuk, even smaller punishments will also be mido keneged mido. So kal v'chaim, a bigger punishment. What do you need the first pasuk for? Everything's included already. In the second pasuk, miyachad the nafklem mi kikol sa'on so'en barash, so that everything is mida keneged mida. So b'sasa b'shalchad hiriven alomali. What do you need that pasuk? That's the famous pasuk that in the same sort. Everything more no. Maybe the first pasuk means something else. Once you have the second pasuk to tell you mida keneged mida, the first pasuk is probably telling us a different thing. Kidabchinet about papa. Dar amchinet about papa. The Ribbono Shel Olam, when he wants to punish a nation, he won't punish them a little bit at a time. When he makes up his mind, he wants to wipe them off of the face of the earth, then he'll punish them in one shot. Instead of giving a little punishment, a little punishment, so that's what it means. B'sa'aso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits till the saw is gedusha, till a measurement of sins that they did is overflowing. It's full to the top and it's overflowing. They did more than enough are there, is then Tiriveno. Then he chases them out of this world. Shenema b'sasa b'shalcha Tiriveno. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes a nation when he's ready to get rid of them completely. Freg Dingmar, but that's not true. Eini, it's just not true. When Yosef was in prison, and Paro had and the Saramashkim and the Sarofim had the dreams, and Yosef was interpreting the different dreams. So the Saramashkim had a dream, that he squeezed out the grapes and he made wine and he put it on Paro's hand. So the word kos appears four times. Arba kaisis is based on that, but the Gemara is only counting three of the four kaisis. Okay.
Three were in a dream.
Yeah. So the Gemara wants to know, what does it represent? The fact that the word kos appears three times. Shlosha kosis amurz b'mitzrayim lama. What does it correspond to? So the Gemara says, it's a kos shel poranus, representing the idea that the Egyptian nation is going to be punished. And they were punished on three different occasions. Achash shoshas b'mei Moshe, the nation of Mitzrayim drank a kos of poranus, they were all punished on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim. V'achas many years later, shoshas b'mei paranacho, v'achas shasid alishtis imchaberel osid lavoi, as Moshiach vet kumen, all the nations who started up with the Jewish people will be punished. So you see that the Egyptians are going to be punished a little at a time, one-third, one-third, one-third. He just told me that the pshat b'sasa b'shalcha t'rivenu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits to punish a nation. He doesn't punish a little at a time. He only waits when it's time to wipe them off the face of the earth. B'shalcha t'rivenu, he waits b'sasa when the soas maleo and gedusha, when they already sinned so much that he wants to get rid of them. Here the Mitzrayim were punished a little bit, and then a later generation a little bit, and Lasi Lovel will be the Gemara. So unless you say that they're not the same Mitzrayim. Maybe in the days of the Yetzias Mitzrayim they were punished, that was the end of Mitzrayim. And in the days of Tanakh Paro, the other Paro, that was a different nationality. They took on the name Mitzrayim, but it was a different nationality, and they were wiped out completely.
So the land of Mitzrayim will be punished, whoever the inhabitants are.
Oh, but maybe that nation is gone, and that second nation is gone. It's going to be a third nation.
The land of Mitzrayim. Whoever lives there.
The land, okay.
We're still warned not to check with Mitzrayim, because Kiryas and Me'asi, you know, the people are gone.
Okay. No, that's a shaila, whether that din still applies. Are the people who live in Mitzrayim today, are they the original Egyptians? Are they a different nation? So the Gemara suggests maybe it's a different nation. Right, so the whole claim is based on the assumption that they are descendants of the original Egyptians. So they were suing the Jews. The Gemara tells a story. The Egyptians were suing the Jews that Bizas Mitzrayim, before we left Mitzrayim, they lent us Klei Chesva, Klei Zov, so they want everything back. So then the Rabbanim said, we want back payment for the 400 years of slavery. So that was the end of the court case. So he said, forget it. Okay. Yeah. So the Gemara says, V'chi teim, or the kasha was, if you're telling me b'sasa b'shalcha t'rivena means HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish the nation until it's time to wipe them off the face of the earth, he doesn't do meet pruta pruta mitzdarefis. He waits till the Goyish nation sins so much that it's time to wipe them out. But it says that the Mitzrayim are going to be punished in little doses, a little at a time. V'chi teim, unless you want to tell me, Hanachos do the original Egyptians disappeared from the face of the earth in the days of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then in the days of Paro and Tanakh, Paranacha, that's a later, Vahani Achrini Ninu, and it's a different nationality, it's not a Hemshech of the original nation. Freg di Gemara, it's not true, Vahatan, you have a different Tosefta. The Tosefta says, Omer Rabbi Yudah, there's a Tana, Rabbi Yudah b'Rabbi Loi, Rabbi Yudah Stam is Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Loi. So he says, I learned by Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yudah was one of the he was one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. After Rabbi Akiva lost all the thousands of Talmidim, so Rabbi Akiva went and he gave smicha to a group of other Talmidim. So Rabbi Yudah says, Min yomen ger ha-mitzri hoya li-chovim Talmidi Rabbi Akiva. It's interesting that after the Churban HaBayis, soon after, there were many Romans who were converting to Judaism. Like now, they write in the papers that from all the nationalities in the world that they're a gerim, so the highest percentage is the Germans. Because many of the descendants from the Nazis are trying to figure out why did our grandparents harass these people? Why did they kill these people? So they're looking into Judaism to find out, and they fall in love with Judaism. So many, there are more German converts than the proportion of the German nationality in the rest of the world. That's how you write in Israeli newspapers. So here also in the days of the Tanoim, after the Churban HaBayis, the Romans were killing so many Jews. So apparently the same thing was happening.
In
Rome they were gerim, yeah. That's why in the history book by Yavetz, he writes, when they had the Nusach HaTfilah Al HaTzadikim Al Chasidim Al Geri HaTzedek Ve'aleinu, they added on a phrase Al Geri HaTzedek. Apparently they were such a big, they weren't just 20 gerim. It must have been a whole movement, a lot of gerim, a big group of gerim. So they added on Al Geri HaTzedek. So he had, you have Ben Bagbag and Ben Hey Hey, you have a whole bunch of gerim. Tosis says he was called Ben Hey Hey because when Avraham Avinu was Nisgar, he added a Hey, Avraham. And when Sarai was Nisgar, he added a Hey, Sarah. So they used to call a Ger Ben Hey Hey. And then Tosis thinks that Bagbag, Beis Gimel is Gematria 5, so also Ben Bagbag was also a nickname for a Ger, another Ger. And these were Tanaim, they quoted in the Mishnayos, and then you have this one over here. My Rav Talia were either Gerim or descendants of Gerim, yeah. So apparently there was a high percentage of Gerim. So he says, when I learned, Rabbi Yudis says, when I learned by Rabbi Akiva, So he says, Minyamin Gera Mitzvah Hayli Chover. He was a good friend of mine in the Yeshivim Talmid Rabbi Akiva. Oma Minyamin, my buddy Minyamin, once told me, he once told me, Ani Mitzri Rishon. I converted. I have the din of a Mitzri Ger Rishon. I married a girl. A Jewish girl is not allowed to marry a Mitzri. And a Jewish boy is not allowed to marry a Mitzris. It says, Dor Shlishi Yavolahem Mikal Hashem. What does it mean, Dor Shlishi? How do you get to the Dor Shlishi? So the din is that a Gerim are not called Kal Hashem. Let's say a Mamzer, Leyova Mamzer B'Kal Hashem, a Mamzer either marries a Mamzeris, Sule Kol can marry each other, or a Mamzer is permitted to marry a Gioris. It's not going to help too much, the children will be Mamzerim. The Mamzeris isn't going to disappear. But a Ger or a Gioris are permitted to marry Psule Kol. Let's say to marry a Ptsuadaka, a Khrushchevka. The Chumash says a man who is a Ptsuadaka, a Khrushchevka, Loyova b'kal Hashem means he's not allowed to marry a Jewish girl. He's allowed to marry a Gioris, because the Kahal Gerim La'ikri Kohol, so they're allowed to marry all the Psule Kohol. So he says, Minyamin Hager was a Mitzri Dor Rishon, he converted. He married a Mitzris who was also a convert, a Dor Rishon. So his son will be a Mitzri Dor Sheni. So if this, so Mitzri is allowed to marry a Gioris. So if my son is a Mitzri Dorsheni, if he'll marry a Mitzris who converted, so Teignish, so then they'll have a child. So from the perspective of the father's a Mitzri Dorsheni, so the child that he has should be a Dorshlishi. But since the mother's a Mitzri Dorisha and she herself converted, she marries a son of a couple who converted, so the din is, whenever you have a child, let's say one of the parents is a mamzer and one is not. So Rashi quotes from the halacha that you go achar apsul. Halacha achar psulam. If one of the parents is a mamzer, the other one is not, so the child is going to be a mamzer. So here, the father's a mitzri darsheni. Minyamin was a ger darvishan, mitzri darvishan. He's going to have a son who's going to be mitzri darsheni.
Who's the mother?
He says Binyamin married a Mitzvah's Darishan.
So they have to like convert together and be able to. No,
okay.
For them, it's for the future generations.
Okay. So he says, I'm going to see to it that my son, who's going to be a Darsheni, should marry a Mitzvah's Darsheni. He's going to marry a Mitzvah's Darishan. So their child is going to be Halach Achar Apsul. So the child is not going to be a Darshlishi. He'll be a Darsheni. You'll have to wait another generation to marry. That the next generation will be allowed to marry. So he says, I'm going to see to it. Minyamin says, I'm going to see to it that my son, who will be a Mitzvah Darsheni, should be Meshadach with a Mitzvah, who's a Darsheni. So that child will be a Darshlishi, and the Psul will be over. Then the Darshlishi already can marry a regular Jewish girl. He can marry anybody he wants. Or if it's a girl, anybody she wants. Mitzvah Vedoimi does make a difference in Zohar Nekeva. By Amun Amoyev, the Gemara says, Eloyav Amoyni V'loy Amoynis, Mayavi V'loy Mayaviya. Musa Ma'aviya was permitted to marry a Jewish boy because the Pasuk says, By Amun Amoyev, Ha'advar HaShel Akidu Eschem Alechem HaMamayim, Baderech B'tzeschem HaMitzrayim. So the Gemara says, Ish darka l'kadim, ish ain darka l'kadim. It wasn't expected of the women that they should come to be mekadim b'lechem of Amayim. It was expected of the men. We are cousins of Ammon and Moab. Ammon and Moab were the children of Lot. So Lot was a nephew of Avraham Avinu. So we're cousins. So they should have really been decent enough to give us some food, to help us a little bit when we were traveling in. But they didn't. So that's why they were punished, and they're not allowed to be bar b'kol. But that's only expected of the men. The Gemara says the women was never expected because
they never have a way of coming in.
The men have no way. No.
No way. No matter who they marry, what they marry, it's always there on their.
Yeah.
Like a mamzer.
Yeah. Yeah. The Gemara has a way, but it doesn't help too much. They marry a shivcha, and then if they have a vlad, then he's meshachad of vlad. But then the vlad is not meshachad after the father. You marry a shivcha. The vlad is only mesachas after the mother, not mesachas after the vlad. Right, the Mishnah has it by mamzer. Yechal mamzerim leitoher. The end of the third parak in Kiddushin. So Rabbi Yehuda the Tana says, when I learned by Rabbi Akiva in the yeshiva, one of my chaverim was this ger, and this was way after. This is already after Paro in the days of Tanakh. So, and he still also love a bekol. The din of mitzri darish and darsheni still applies. So the Gemara says, obviously you don't assume that they were all wiped out in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. If the whole nation of Mitzrayim was wiped out, and the second cause, yes, and so he's an Egyptian, but they're not descendants of those original Mitzrayim. So the whole Isser love of bekol wouldn't apply. Taisus says, Rashi and Taisus point out, we don't paskin like him. We don't paskin like Minyamin. We paskin la locha that bos ancheriv bilbal eskol ha'olam kulay. That ancheriv moved all the nationalities around, and there's no Ammon, there's no Moav, there's no Mitzri, there's no Hadoimi, none of these things apply. That's the Shaila. The Rambam sounds like he says that Amalek still does apply. Why don't you say, Kvarovat Zichram, the Rambam writes on the Zainumis, Chiti Amor, Aprizai Gusiv, Agigoshi, he writes Kvarovat Zichram, they don't exist anymore. And then Amoyne Mayovi, Kvarovat Zichram. So why doesn't he write like that by Amalek? So the Sefer Achinoch writes on Amalek also Kvarovat Zichram. So that's why Rab Moshe Soloveitchik suggested like that. He thought that Amalek applies any nationality that denies the existence of God, v'lo yar Elohim, if they don't believe, if they're atheists, and they have as an attitude that they want to wipe out the Jewish people, so he thought a chiddush that they have the din of Amalek, right?
But not throwing him at a very specific sign to recognize an Amalek.
That's questionable. They say that in the Chassam Sofer's biography, they say that on one occasion he identified an individual as an Amaleki based on his facial features, and he thought of it that they should kill him, that they should drown him in the mikveh. So it's very strange, but the din of Amalek is a din of your Mechama L'Hashem Amaleki, not on a private level. I walk down the street, I bump into an Amaleki, so it's a mitzvah to kill him. It doesn't say like that. The Rambam says, if I'm walking down the street, I bump into one of the Zayinumas, and I have my ability to kill him, and I don't, I raise a bitl mitzvah says it. The Rambam never says it by Amalek, because Amalek, it says in Chumash, is a chavis melchama. Chavis melchama means Klal Yisrael together with the Jewish army representing the Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. Not Stam, the Chassam Sofer lived in Hungary, and he identified a person as an Amaleki. The whole story is very strange. That's what they have in the biography of the Chassam Sofer, that he was a descendant of Amalekim, and he recognized them by his facial features. But Rav Moshe Soloveitchik gave this suggestion. He thought that the Sefer HaChinuch writes on Amalek also Kfar Rabat Zichrom. We assume Bos HaCherev, Bilbul Eskol HaOlam Kulos, and nobody today is any longer Mitzri, Adami, none of this exists. The Zainumus, Amalek doesn't exist. But the Rambam never said that. The Rambam sounds like Amalek is still around. And the Gemara says, Kiyor Al-Kesk, the Mechilta says, Rashi and Chumash quotes the Mechilta at the end of Bishalach, Kiyor Al-Kesko, L'chom Al-Hashem Ma'amolik Midor Dor. So Rashi says, Ein Hashem Sholem, Ein HaKisah Sholem, Ad Sheimoch HaZarish Al-Amolik. That's the last pasuk in Mishalach. The Shem Hashem, the Gemara says, Lasid Lava, the Gemara in Pesachim says, when Amolik will be wiped out, then we'll pronounce Yudke Vavke. Boilem Azeh, we don't pronounce Yudke Vavke because of the problem of evil, because we still have Amolik. So it sounds like Amolik is still around. Asilav Amalek will be wiped out, wiped off, and then we'll be able to pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei. It sounds like it's not Korov Adzichum, so how can it be? What happened? Bos Acherem Bilbulos Kolov Kula. So that was Rav Soloveitchik said in the name of his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, any nation who doesn't believe in God, atheists, and they adopt as a policy to kill the Jewish people, they have the din of Amalek. That was the Rav's position when they were discussing the reparations money. So he said, the Mizrahi asked him, what should they do? Should they take the money or not? So he said, you're not allowed to take the money. He said, one was an ethical consideration that the Germans shouldn't feel that they're getting an atonement for killing so many millions of the Jews and some millions of goyim. They're going to think that they gave some money, so they paid kofa, so they get a kapar. So he said, we have no right to represent the Kedoshim to accept their reparations money. Kila, we're atoning, we're accepting a koifer and a potter from an oynish. And then he said, al pi halacha, he thought that the Nazis had a din of Amalek, and you're not allowed to take anything from Amalek. Not everybody agrees to that, but that's, what do you mean, not allowed to take anything from Amalek? It says in the Haftorah of Parsha Zohar, Shabbos Parsha Zohar, so it says that Shaul was commanded to kill all the behemoths and everything, not allowed to take anything. So half of the Tanaim say that was only a Hayra Shaul. It's not a din l'duris. A duris, it's only a din you have to kill the people who are Amalekim, not the property. So Rav Soloveitchik was assuming like the other Tanoim. So Machlekes in the Mechilta and Parshas Bishalach. Rav Soloveitchik was assuming that the din of Amalek is l'duris like that. You're not allowed to take anything from Amalek, even if they're going to just give you back 5% of the money that they stole from you. I don't know if they gave back 5%. The Germans gave back a small percentage of the money that they stole from the Jews. That's also an Isser Amalek. They're just... Okay, so kill him, you can't. Kill him, it would not be ordained to kill him.
So you can't take the money.
Okay, that's the Shiloh. So Rav Soloveitchik thought he's not allowed to take the money.
Haman was Amalek also, be saying
that. Yeah, it says Haman Ha-Amalek. It says Haman Ha-Amalek, and then it says that the Melech get Beis Haman, Beit Din HaMelech is Beis Haman Liester. So that's what the Mefarshim ask Akasha, if he was an Amalek.
And went to the Rishus of Achashverosh, or something.
So that's one teretz. The Achreinim have a few teretzim. So one teretz they give is the Yerushalmi says he wasn't really from Amalek. He's called Haman Hamaleki. He did like Amalek. Like Amalek, Bishaita wanted to wipe out the Jewish people. Haman also wanted to. That's how the Yerushalmi says. Others assume that Babli never said it. The other Midrashim don't say. So I'll be Pashtus. Maybe he wasn't Amaleki. So another teretz they suggest is, like Haman Amoyav Tiharu B'sichon. The Gemara says, we're not allowed to take away the land of Ammon and Moav. But Sichon waged war against Ammon and Moav. He took it away. So Mitam Kibush Muhammad Sichon was kinda. So when we took it, when we waged war against Sichon, we were kinda from Sichon, he was kinda from Ammon and Moav. So we were not in a violation of the Sizga, you're not allowed to wage war against Ammon and Moav. Kiloat and Lachami Artsam, it was Tiharu B'Sichon. So that's what some say over here. That Haman was Haruge Hamalchus Nechseim LaMelech, so Achashverosh was kinda than Achasim, and then first he was kinda, so it's Tiharu B'Achashverosh, and then he gave it, then he gave over. Others give another teretz that the whole prohibition only applies if you waged war against Amalek B'tzura Shel Melchama. Here there was no Jewish government and there was no Jewish Melchama, so the whole din that you're not allowed to take the Mammon of Amalek doesn't apply. The opposite from what you wanted to say. Some want to say, the Issa not to take the Mammon of Amalek is only if you waged war against them, then you're not allowed to take the Nechasim. But if you didn't wage war, it's a din in the Hilchus Melchama. Here there was no Melchama with Amalek. They just the Melech, Achashverosh, killed Haman for his reasons. But it is a discussion. If the Pasuk describes Haman as Haman HaAmaleki, so why were they allowed to take the Nechasim?
Maybe it's a Jerome on that.
Could be. Okay, could be. Yeah. So, Rashi and Tosis point out... Don't know. Good kashas. I don't know. So again, Rashi and Tosis point out that we don't paskin like this brisa, this tosefta, in Kiddushin. We assume so if a descendant from Mitzrayim comes and he converts today, We say Baba Mises. He's not a descendant of the Mitzrim. They're all Mavulbal, they're all over the place. I let it be Suffolk, the Raisa Luchumisa. Any American who converts, any Chinaman, any Japanese, anyone who converts, maybe he's a descendant of Amalek. So the answer is you go Basarayv. Yeah. The din is that Suffolk, the Raisa Luchumra, except for Suffolk Mamzer. Suffolk Mamzer was Mutam and Atorah. But Suffolk Mamzer was also Midir Rabbana. Suffolk Mamzer. Some of the Rishonim ask. The Gemara says in Brochus that the ger from Ammon and Moav and Mitzriim, the muta lava called because of the roiv. So the Rishonim ask Akasha, why do you need a roiv? A Suffolk Mamzer is mutter. Said not only Suffolk Mamzer, Suffolk Opsuli Kohol should be mutter. So if you have a Suffolk Ammoni, a Suffolk Mitzri should also be mutter. So the Rishonim answer, yeah, Suffolk Psuli Kohol is mutter manator, but it's also the Rabbanan. Suffolk Mamzer is also Rabbanan. So that's what the Gemara had to say. But the Rav is that Ruba the Ruba of the people in the world are not Amalekim. They're not Zainumis. And they're not Amon Amoyev and so on. So there's no Chumrim even with the Rabbanan. The Chumrim with Rabbanan that a Suffolk Mamzer is also, Suffolk Psuli Kohol is also, that's only when it's a Suffolk Ashokol. But when you have a Rav Lahakel, Ruba the Ruba, there are Ayanumis. There's 70 nations, so many nationalities in the world, so many countries in the world. So the roiv is that any given gear is not from the Mitzrayim. So Allah Maisa, we don't pass it.
That would exclude Orientals and blacks and so forth. What about it?
We don't know. Maybe the Amalekim were Schwarz. We don't know what they looked like. Maybe they were Orientals. I don't know who they were. Anyway, so the Gemara over here quotes this Tosefta. And the Tosefta is assuming that the Mitzrim in the days of the Tanaim were a Hemshech, they were direct descendants of the Mitzrim in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't assume like that. Rashi and Tosefta, we assume Bas and Chevil Bilbil is called Alam Kulay. So the Gemara is pushing that it was the same. So how can you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish a nation until Atshe Tismali Sos, until they sin so much that he wants to wipe them off the face of the earth? But it's not so. It says Gimel Koisos Hamuris B'Mitzrayim and the Chalayim of the Sarah Mashkim represent the Gimel Peronios. It was a little at a time. They suffered in the days of Yetzias Mitzrayim, they suffered in the days of Tanakh, and lost their love, and they're going to suffer. Eliyitma Hachi Yitma. No, we said it wrong. Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish a nation until the jig is up, until they deserve to be wiped off the face of the earth. Aliyat Mahachiyat Manor, Abchinan and my papa meant to say it like this, En Kadosh Baruch Hu Nifra Min HaMelech HaShashi Luchoi. A king, he doesn't punish kings a little at a time. Nations he does punish. Kol Pruta Pruta Mitztarefes L'Chesh Ben Godel is not only on Jewish people, it's on non-Jewish nationalities as well. But a king, he punishes at one shot. When it's Nismali Sasai, then he kicks him off. Shenembe B'Sasa B'Shalcha Terivenu. Amemar said the same idea in connection with a different pasuk. Amemar masnin luhadir avchinan de bapapa ho. Maidich si, what's pshat in the pasuk? Kani Hashem lo shanis v'atem ne yankiv lo chilisim. That's a haftorah, one of the sedrus in Bereshis, the early sedrus in Bereshis. Ani Hashem lo shanisi, what do you mean? Pasha pshat is God says, I never changed. Shinoi is only chal on the bria. God is above the bria. So the nature of God never changes. That's what we assume. That's what the Baal HaTanya writes and the Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes the same thing. Why do we have such an insistence that the laws of the Torah are immutable? Every legal system, they keep on changing. The United States has amendments to the Constitution, and every state constitution, they keep on every couple of years, they have a constitutional convention, and they change a couple of laws. So why is it so gefährlich to assume that the Ribbono Shel Olam will give us a nevuah, and the Novi will tell us the Ribbono Shel Olam decided to change the din? So they all explain, Rav Chaim Volozhiner and the Baal HaTanya both explain that the laws of the Torah are not just a collection of laws, it's a description of Elokus. And since the Novi says, Ani Hashem lo shanisi, Shinui is only chal on the Briya, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not part of the Briya, he's above the Briya, so Shinui is not chal on the Ribbono Shel Olam. So since the laws of the Torah our description of Elokus and the Ribbono Shel Olam's essence doesn't change, so the laws of the Torah cannot change. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't change. And the Jewish people will never be wiped out. The Pashup Shat is the Haftocha was on the Jewish people, Bichlalusam, on the whole Klal Yisrael. So the Ravid writes in his Pirish on the Torah's Kohanim that Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol, the Gemara has in the first Perik in Maseches Horius, that each Shevet is called a Kohol. So the Haftocha, Atem B'nei Yankim V'lochilisim, goes on each one of the B'nei Yankim. It doesn't go on Bichlalusam. The whole Jewish people will survive. No, each Shevet will survive. There'll be survivors from Reuven, survivors from Shevet Shimon. It's not Shaykh. The Gemara says, Gemiri, we have a tradition, the Lakal Shiftim Yisrael. The Gemara in Yesh Nechlin has all the dinim of Yerusha. Someone dies, so his sons get Yerusha. He doesn't have sons, so the sons' children get. No sons, no children, the daughters get. No daughters, so the brothers get, the sisters get, the whole Cheshmen. Then the Gemara says, so why don't you say, what if the whole Shevet died out? Then it goes to the next Shevet. The Gemara says that'll never happen. Gemiri, we have a tradition, the law called the Shift of Israel. So where does that tradition come from? So the Ravid says, because you're putting the Ravid and the Pirush on Torah's Kanim says, you're putting together the two psukim. The Pasuk says, Atem b'nei Yankim v'lo chilisim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises the Jewish kohol, the Jewish nation will never be wiped out. And we assume Shevet Echad Ikri Kol. Every Shevet is called the Klal Yisrael. So the Pasuk pshat ani Hashem lo shanisiz milo shen shinoi. That the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence doesn't change. So the Gemara has an additional taich. Ani Hashem lo shanisi, I don't have to repeat myself. When I punish a nation, I don't have to give a second punishment. I give them one punishment, and I wipe them off the face of the earth. My dichsim, Ani Hashem lo shanisi, lo hikesi luma v'shinesi lo. I didn't have to hit them a second time. The first time I hit them, I wiped them out. A bus of a dam sometimes is not so powerful. So let's say he'll wage war against another country, a king will wage war against another country, so the first time he'll be partially successful, and he'll have to come again a second time to wipe out the enemy. And the Baruch Shalom, the first time he's sufficiently successful, he can wipe them out in one shot, he doesn't have to do a second time.
He does it, he
can do it, but then you have the kasha of the Gimel Kofos. Right, so the Gemara says it, the Gemara touched it up, that it only goes on the Melech. Yeah.
No, but the new Mandir is now saying on the nations, going back to the nation from another posse, isn't
it? I'm not sure. The Gemara doesn't go into the details. He's just saying over the same as Rav Chinen about Papa before on a different posse, and then he leaves it hanging. Whether it goes on a melech or it goes on the nation.
It could go on a melech.
Yeah, maybe it only goes on the melech like before. They don't go into the details. The original pshat goes on a whole nation.
Only Klal Yisrael doesn't.
Then the Gemara says, "Hayna dichsiv." The pasuk says in Dvarim, "Chitzai achale bom." The Rebbeinu Shlom is talking about the Jewish nation. I'm going to punish them. It sounds like it's a chumrah. I'm going to punish the Jewish people so much for their averus. I'll use up all of my arrows. I'll shoot all of my arrows. But it's a kula. It's not a chumrah. He's going to use up all his arrows, and the Jewish people are still surviving. Chitzai kolim, v'heimenim kolim. I'm going to use up all of my arrows, and then the Jews will continue to survive. Amar Rav Hamnuna, en HaKadosh Baruch Nifra min ha'odam, from HaKadosh Baruch only punishes an individual person, asha tismali sosa. If he's already sinned so much, it's way... He doesn't punish a person because he did a couple of it. He waits till the person did way more than he should have done. So the Gemara, what's the pasuk? A pasuk in Yiv, a difficult pasuk in Yiv. All of Yiv is difficult. Psukim. Shenaba b'lo sveiko yetzolo. When he does all his heart desires, he did so many averis, then he's going to have the tzoris. Look, we don't know how the Rebbeinu Shlom runs his world. The Amoraim were not too sure. Okay. Maybe we'll stop over here. The Mishnah is having Maseches Shabbos that there are Lametes Ovis Malachas, the 39 Ovis Malachas. So the Gemara has discussions. How do you know the number 39? So there's a Machlekes HaTanoim. So one Tana says it's learned out from the Pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Vayakal that even though we were commanded to build the Beis HaMikdash, but the Rebbeinu Shlom always gives the Tzivah together with Shabbos. You have to be careful. Binyan Beis HaMikdash is not Deichel Shabbos. Akrovus Karbonis Tzibur Ad Deichel Shabbos. Akrobus Kabbanish is Manakavua Dechel Shabbos, but Binyan HaMishkan is not Dechel Shabbos. So the Banish Lom says, Eile HaDvorem HaShitziv HaShem La'asoy Soysom. So the Gemara Machta Gematria. Eile Aleph Lamed Hey, Lamed is 30, Hey is 5, Aleph is 1, so it's 36. Dvorim is Miud Rabim Shnayim, would have been 37, 38. And Dvorim HaDvorem, the Hey idea, makes another one. So that's 39. Bingo. A Gematria of 39. That's the Mokar. That's not the generally accepted opinion, because there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, and the Mishnah is the last line in the first Perek in Chagiga, says Gematria Yoes is Parperoes LaChachma. What it means is it's a cute idea, but you never have, it's not from the Midah Shatar and Adreshes, but we never establish. Right, so that's what the Gemara quotes a different Tana, says that this is not the Mokar, because Gematria is not from the Midrash HaTorah and the Reshes, but it's just Parperois. It's a cute vertel, but it's rather, this is a Midrash HaTorah and the Reshes. When you take from the beginning of Bereshis till the Eni Kol Yisrael, Echalakim is called Malachta Asherosa. So you take the Chumash, how many times does the word Malocha Maleches Malachto? How many times does the word appear from the beginning of Chumash to the end? That sounds to me like a Balaturim. So the Gemara says, no, that's a real Midrash HaTorah and Reshes Ben. How many times does the word appear? So the Tosfos Yontov is bothered with Akasha. If you add up from the beginning of Reshes till the end of the Enikai, so it's way more than 39. It's way more than 39. So the different Shittas and Achreinim, which ones do you throw out? What's the klal? How do they figure out that it only says 39? So there's more than 39. The Gemara talks about Vayova Yosef Habaisa Lasas Malachtoi, when Eishes Potiphar wanted him to sin, so the Gemara is not sure whether Lasas Malachta is counted as one of the 39 or not. So obviously there are more than 39. If there are only 39 times, what's the Sofi? Obviously they're not sure. Some of them do count, some of them don't count. Definitely you have to know how to learn. So different shitas. Mendel Kasha has in his Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos and Divrei Menachem has a long chapter on this, and he quotes all the different shitas and he spells it out. What are the different shitas? But that we consider a Midrash HaTorah and Reshes Ben. The Gemara says, how do you know how many zrikas you need on the Mizbeach by a Korban Chatos? So the Gemara adds up how many times in Parshas Vayikra, when you bring a Korban Chatos, it says you should be Zorik al Karnos HaMizbeach, Karnas, Karnas, Karnos. You add up how many times it says the word Karen, and sometimes it's plural, sometimes in singular, and that's how you come to the number. How do you know that you need three Hadassim in the Lulav and the Esr? Because it says Anaf, Eitz, Ovis. So the three words is three. To me, that sounds also like a balaturim. Sounds also like a gematria. So we assume, no, the gematrias are parparos lachochma. That's not from the Midrash HaTorah and the Rashi's Ben. And how many times the word appears, that's a legitimate, bona fide Rasha. We do learn that dinim from that. Nazir, the Gemara says, Stam Nazir Shloshim Yom. If a person says, Hareni Nazir, it can't be a Nazir for less than 30 days. It could be a Nazir for 30, 40, 50, 150. 35 days. It doesn't have to be units of 30. It has to be a minimum of 30 days. And if he says, Harini knows it's Stam, he doesn't say how long, it's Stam Nazirish Loshim Yom. So the Gemara has one opinion that's based on the Gematria, Kodesh Yiye, Gadel Peres HaRosh, Yiye Begematria, Tlosen Habi, Yud Hei is 30. So the Rambam writes over there in Pirush HaMishnah, that's an Asmachta. The Rambam, the Gemara sounds like it's a real bona fide Rosha. So they all quote, the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnah is there, in the first Perek in Nazir, that's only Parparos LaChachma, and it's Aloch LaMoshe Misina. They knew B'Kabbalah, it's not based on the Gematria. All the Gematrias are just Ramazim.
So which of the 13 meters is this from Malacha Malacha?
No, there are more than 13 meters. There are many more than 13 meters. You have meters, let's say, the Gemara sometimes will darshan, how come the Pasuk switches from singular to plural? How come we switch from masculine to feminine? How come sometimes the word is spelled mole and sometimes choser? So the Yerushalayim are also Midrash HaTorah and Reshes Ben. You have extra words. Yeah, they're more than Lamed Beis. They're more than Lamed Beis, yeah. There are many more meters than Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah and Reshes Ben. So one of the meters is, if you have a word repeated many times, like basukas, 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 you add up how many times says basukas, and that establishes how many tfanas you need. Many alochas.
Okay. Any challenge to that?
Good.
A little.
Very good. but you came to cover the snow. It's going to snow again, I think.
No,
rain.
My wife wasn't feeling well, and I had some little bit of a migraine.
You should feel better in New York. Okay.
I'm sorry?
You should feel better in New
York. He missed the snowstorms.
Good. Also, 13 times each.
I think the Batanura says, and 50 of us. Somebody asked me this. I